Just please state your name when you get going.
Hi, my name is Karen Bernard. I live across the street at 4343 Post Road. And I am not opposed to the project. I just think that there's too many units. I'm worried about the traffic. And I am worried about the drainage and the construction and how that's going to affect Post Road. Already right now with the drainage, we have problems with flooding right in front of our house. None of the drainage is working when you're adding seven more units and digging up. I'm just concerned about all of that. But I'm not opposed to the development. I mean, that's fine. I just think seven units is too many. That's just my own. I think the size of the lot and the density. We have condos next door to that there's not enough parking, and they park up on Cedar Street, and it's always congested over there. And so I'm just concerned about the effects of all of that. I know that if you do approve the zone change, I just want to be able to make sure that they do get the permits for RIDOT and DEM because of the way the land is. Traffic study, I think, is very important. We have many accidents at the Post Road Cedar corner there. The people go right through the stop sign already. There's a lot of speeding going down the hill, and they hit the stone wall in front of where the condos are being proposed. And I'm just concerned about people coming in and out of Post Road, not only from Cedar, but also from where the proposed condos are for, because there's one in, one out, one in, one out. Now, I know I was just told that they are only making the one exit out, but people are still going to go in and out. They're not, I mean, it's, unless you put little metal things to stop them from going in, they're going to go in and out. That's just how it works with a parking lot. Let's see. Parking. Exits. I guess, you know, that's really it. So, I mean, if it is all approved today, I just really want to make sure that the permits are in order for RIDOT and DEM. I think that's right. And then the one other thing, yes, it's not on the Historic Society, but it is a historic house. The house is built in 1850. The house across the street is built in 1875. The other house across the street is built in 18 something. So there are a lot of historic houses around that area. Yes, it's not on the registry. My house isn't on the registry. My neighbor's house isn't on the registry, but it is a historic house. And it's a shame that it would be destroyed to put the condos in. That's it.
Miss, a question. Did you say the drainage currently in that area is not working, or there's that you're concerned going
forward?
Oh,
it's horrible. I've at some points at the bottom of my hill have had 2 to 3 feet of water. When we had that big flood, it was 4 feet, maybe five. It was all the way past my bushes up to my front yard. So the drains are never cleaned. There's always, whenever it rains, it floods, no matter what. And there is one drain at the bottom of my hill. There's another drain to the left where the fire is, and there's no drains on the other side, on the side where the condo is, where the proposed condos are being proposed to be built. So it's only on the drainage is on the north side of Post Road, and they're all clogged. So I just get concerned about that with, because they'll have to cut the sidewalk. And now, so when it rains, that water is going to go down that hill into Post Road. So it's going to be an excess more of water coming down onto Post Road, because that side of the Post Road is higher built. So the water's got to go somewhere. And once you make a hill to go down, because it's low on one end and high on the other, and once you make that thing to go down, then that water has to go somewhere. So then the drainage would have to be taken care of there. Or it ends up all coming down on our side of the road.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep. And again, I'm not against it being built. I just think there's too many units to accommodate the traffic around there.
Understood. Is there anyone who wishes to speak against this project? Is there anyone who wishes to speak against this project? Is there anyone who wishes to speak against this project? Is there anyone who wishes to speak on this project in general? Is there anyone who wishes to speak on this project in general? Is there anyone who wishes to speak on this project in general? All right, seeing none, do we have a motion? Councilman Gebhardt?
I move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Ricks. Is there any discussion? Is that yes for discussion, Councilman Lattice, or for this motion, or for?
Oh, no, no, sorry.
All right, so all in favor of closing the public hearing?
Aye.
All against? Any abstentions? All right, so seeing all in favor and none against, the hearing's closed. All right, so Councilman Lattice, I saw your light go on.
Thank you. A question for the applicant. The lady that just testified, she mentioned about three historical homes on that site, in that area. Are there any permissions that are required from either the Historical District Commission or the National Historical Society or any other historical agency in order to demolish those buildings?
They're under no jurisdiction. They can do whatever they want with the building. It's not an historic district. It's not a registered building. It's privately owned. So they can do whatever they want.
Okay, thank you.
Councilman Gebhardt.
Thank you. Evening, Mr. Resnick. Maybe we start, you said you had someone, your engineer here, yeah?
We'll definitely address the drainage. That's a question.
I have a few questions.
We need you to speak into the mic when you respond for the sake of the stenographer and those who are watching online.
Good evening.
Hi. Good evening.
Would you mind just stating your name for the record?
Yes, Dana Nisbet, professional engineer with DePreet Engineering.
Hi, Dana. Obviously I'm familiar with this property being in my ward. On the site plan itself, this site is set up higher off the road. Is that grade changing at all, or is it going to remain at the same grade that it is and then the driveway comes down through?
Yes, the idea would keep the grades as close to existing as possible. So these buildings will sit higher up, similar to what's there today. And to preserve that stone wall that's along Post Road as much as possible, obviously with the exception of the driveway that will need to come out, that will slope down to the road.
Okay, and I think this question was actually answered by the the speaker just prior to you, but the intent is for the curb cut that happens on Post Road, that would only be an egress out of the property, and the main ingress would be off of Alger.
Yes. Yep. That will be an exit only onto Post Road, and that was coordinated with the fire marshal to allow the fire apparatus to get out of the site safely.
Got it. Yeah, they don't like to have those tight turnarounds in the back of the property, so that does make sense. In the back left portion of the drawing, is that dumpster?
Yes. It's a placeholder dumpster area shown with some screening and tucked back from the road and out of sight.
Yeah, I mean, the fortunate part of this particular site is that to the west, you have a general business zone, I believe, right? It's a doctor's office. And then on the back side of the property, I guess the north, is the railroad tracks. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you need any sort of approval or permissions from Amtrak or
nope.
For construction?
We're well beyond the setbacks from that property line. We've met all the landscape requirements too on all property sides.
Okay, great. And maybe this is a question for Mr. Resnick. I think you mentioned this. What other relief is being requested in the petition? What other relief is being, are there any other variances or any other dimensional relief?
At the master plan level, because the property is a corner, and you know, the setbacks, the front setback. So we asked for, relief somewhere between four and five feet in the rear and the sides, just so we can fit everything in. Is parking within that side setback also. In the distance between the buildings, again, it was just a foot or two, very, very minor.
Great, thank you. Parking for the units, is that integral to the units? So can you speak into the mic for this Deno? Thank you.
My voice is so loud that I can be heard anyway. There actually are 21 spaces. There's 14 surface parking spaces, and there's 7 garages, one garage with each unit, which is in excess of the requirement of the town, city.
Thank you. And then, Dana, on stormwater, Is there any handling of stormwater? Do you have to put in any kind of system here? Are you able to handle the stormwater through landscaping and the rest of the plan?
So as Mr. Resnick already spoke to, we will have to apply to DEM as well as DOT. They'll both review the stormwater for the site. We will have to design based on those regulations, which requires that you either meet or reduce the amount of runoff from the site. We're anticipating there'll be an underground infiltration system that would handle this stormwater.
Like a dry well or a series of dry wells or something? Okay. Yep. Have fun digging over there. Okay, I think that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions for the applicant or for the city, for that matter? Councilman Napa.
Just one quick question to either Mr. Resnick or whomever can answer. This is a private driveway to be maintained by the condo association, not to be maintained by the city as far as snow removal.
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
This is a private driveway that's going to be maintained for snow removal and
this is by the condo association. And that's the association's responsibility to take care of the roadway.
Thanks, sir.
Councilman Gebhardt.
I knew I had one. I forgot. Would the applicant be opposed to putting any stipulations on the condo agreement in regards to the timing related to traffic pickup? Something we encounter often with these, where dumpsters are getting picked up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and then we end up with problems with the neighbors. Often it can be.
I'm sorry, what? Give me an example of what. I mean, we can put restrictions obviously not condos, but in regards to, you're talking about delivery?
The dumpster pickup.
I mean, I'm sure we could do that.
Yeah, for an example, so in my ward, there's a...
You tell me a time that you, not before 7 o'clock in the morning? Absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah, that's ideal, because I had an issue in my ward where there was a dumpster company picking up at 5 a.m. and waking up people across the road, as you can imagine. So that's appreciated.
Can you do something about the kids speeding on Love Lane now? We did it again last night. It's really bad.
All right.
Talk about that.
So solicitor is asking me to have you clarify what the hours would be when it comes to this issue that was just brought up.
I wrote down not before 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I don't think anybody's picking up garbage at night, but it has to be between 7 in the morning and 9 at night.
Please speak into the mic for the record, since the stenographer is here.
My notes are that garbage cannot be picked up before 7 o'clock in the morning. If you want to have a nighttime, then we do. It must be picked up between 7 and 8 at night.
So I'll defer to Councilman Gebhardt.
That works for me.
All right. Does the planning department have anything they want to add regarding the project in general?
Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director. I'll just add that there is A10 and A15 zoning surrounding the property. The initial application came in at 9 units, and we thought that was too much. So to reduce it by 2 units on a site like this helps dramatically. And it allowed the fire marshal to work with them to have a proper egress driveway on the northern side that you see out onto Post. So other than that, we're supportive of the project.
Rudy, does anyone else wish to comment on this or have any questions? All right, seeing none, do we have a motion? Oh, wait, hold on one moment, sorry.
I just need 1 second on putting together an amendment suggestion for Councilman Gephardt's language.
So Councilman Gephardt moves an amendment to add a stipulation number 5, which would be a prohibition on the collection of trash between the hours of 8 p.m. and 7 a.m., except for emergency situations.
Is there a second on the proposed amendment? Seconded by Councilman Muto. Any discussion regarding the proposed amendment? All right. Seeing none, we will get the right to vote on the proposed amendment. All right, so clerk will please call the roll on the proposed amendment.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise? Yes. Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Murray?
Yes.
Zalaza.
Yes.
Bermudo.
Yes.
Napa.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, this now stands before us as amended. Do we have a motion or, well, first, yeah, I was right the first time. Do we have a motion?
I'll move favorable action as amended.
Seconded by Councilman Muto, Councilman Lattiser. Is there any discussion on this as amended?
I'll just say this is a good project and happy to have more housing in the neighborhood. This obviously has some more process to go through, but generally fits within the character of this stretch of Post Road and provides more housing opportunities. So we're in favor. Thank you.
All right, so no lights on. The clerk will please call the roll on the motion for favorable action on this as amended.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Surik?
Yes.
All right, and I believe now at this point we're going to hop back to committees, specifically intergovernmental. And Tyler, are you here by chance? Tyler? Maybe? No? Okay, worth a shot.
Time is now 8:10. Intergovernmental comes to order. We have no minutes. Okay, first up, we have two appointments to the Historic District Commission. Mr. Tyler Baum, are you in the building? Okay. This being a new appointment, we do require the applicant to be present. So I'm looking for a motion to hold this appointment to, would the next reasonable meeting be?
June 1st, per the clerk.
To June 1st. Looking motion. For a motion to hold to June 1st.
Motion to hold this till June 1st.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Similarly, with Ms. Greeley, I think we were aware that she was not going to be available tonight. So looking for a motion to hold till June 1st.
Motion to hold to June 1st.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Into the meat of the order here. PCR 1926, a resolution of the General Assembly providing... requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter to require annual presentations at public hearings before the City Council regarding city financial status and audit results. We did move this last time to the floor without recommendation. However, it is back on our docket. Any new commentary that we didn't have last time around from members of the committee? No? Okay.
Do you have any, you want to add anything?
Do you want to add anything?
No. We sent it to the floor last time.
Any members of the council wish to add anything on this one?
No.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm actually not entirely sure.
Councilman Ricks, just check your microphone for us.
Let's see. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Okay, so, yeah, I believe that this committee previously moved this to the floor without a recommendation, that it was heard by the full council. So I was actually not entirely certain why this one was still on the committee agenda, but given the support that it had before the full council last time, I would respectfully request a recommendation with favorable action.
Okay, thank you, Councilman. Any other comments? Any members of the public have anything to add on this resolution, which would ask the General Assembly to add to the ballot an item that would require, that would make a charter change requiring the city present annual financial statements with experts, public commentary, as well as a five-year forecast. Ah. Mayor?
I was just confused why I was in committee again, too. The only comment, I don't object to the proposed language at all. I just don't know why it's necessary to make a charter change instead of an ordinance. We do the same thing.
I think it's a fair point, and I think that summarizes the discussion we had last time around. I think we have it before us as a charter change. We did discuss, that in terms of signaling to the public that matters of, the city finances are important to us, that, all of them who vote seeing it on the ballot may indicate that. However, I don't know that we had strong feelings one way or another, which I think is why it went to the floor without recommendation. So that's my recollection from our past discussion.
Okay, so come back in 5 minutes.
One more time.
Come back in 5 minutes when it's before the full council say the same thing.
Well, we'll see. Does anyone have a motion on this item?
Can I make just a quick note, please?
You may.
So the mayor stole my question/comment about this being a charter change rather than an ordinance. I'm similarly confused by that. And I am worried in the long term from the perspective of it being a charter change, just because the charter is meant to be for things that are immutable, things that aren't going to change, like general basis, rights, etc. And as we all know, by the mere fact that three of these items are on our docket today, our current charter has a lot of things that are probably aren't suited to be in it, and it's causing us problems. And as we even had a special election where we had a few items that we changed because it was similarly causing us problems, because there were things in there that probably shouldn't have been. The best example being service on Councilman, where we had to spend money each time we did a special meeting, even though there was no real good purpose to do so. It was just a waste of money, but we had to because of the way the charter was written back then until we got it changed. So I'm worried from the perspective of, yes, like this stuff is good, what we're trying to do, but doing it in the charter, I have no idea, for instance, if 20, 30, 40 years from now, if a five-year forecast is actually going to be relevant. I have no idea what's going to happen in regards to these sort of financial analysis going forward. I know that seems like something silly, but there's plenty of things that are going on now in society that no one could have even fathomed decades ago. The best example being cell phones being a thing. Nobody even contemplated that possibility back then, and now they are very much a thing. Or even the charter change we did about service. Nobody contemplated email being an option. So of course you had to tell somebody in person. So I'm just not a huge fan of changing it in the charter. That being said, what it seeks to do, if we take away the fact that it's a charter change, is not a bad thing. So just my two cents.
Thank you, Council President. Do we have a motion from the committee? Councilman Lattiser. I'll come to you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So on its face, I concur with Councilman Ricks. I think it's absolutely necessary to have a requirement that the financial status and audit results are formally presented to the City Council in a public hearing, which allows for public question and comments as to where this city stands as a whole. I'm not totally sure that it would require a charter change. Perhaps an ordinance would do what the sponsor, as well as myself as a co-sponsor, is proposing and what our intent is. So I would tend to lean that way, but either way, I think that this City Council needs to take action so that those reports and those people are here to let all the taxpayers know where we stand, let them know, or I should say have the opportunity to ask the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Napa. I was just going to say that we, over the last couple of years, we sent a number of things up to the State House, and it's easy to forget how busy they are doing the types of work that they're doing. And then when they get certain things from us, we tend to get a lot of questions of like, why is this coming to us? This seems like something you could have handled in the city, you know, with an ordinance. And then, of course, they may get inquiries and commentary when they are hearing this item that, if we are not there to answer, may not carry the context of the deliberations and discussions that we've had here. So I think that's just another thing to consider. You know, if the sponsor, it sounds like at least one third of the sponsors are open to converting this to an ordinance and putting it on the books. And I haven't heard any from the administration through the council, anyone who is in opposition to annually this type of financial housekeeping. So I would urge the sponsors to consider an alternative tact on this, because it sounds like we probably have a win there. Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to caveat off of what you said, if the sponsors would also consider if this is vested in an ordinance rather than a charter change, it would give us a greater opportunity to sort of tailor this with language such as timing of these presentations, how we like them to be presented. If we get presentation number one and we decide at presentation number two, it would have been really nice to have X, Y, and Z, and maybe we can further change and amend ordinance at that point to kind of hone this in as the process goes along over the next several years. So I would also echo your thoughts about if the sponsors would consider amending this to an ordinance, we could probably make it more functional for the city at our city level rather than volley it up to the state.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks, what say you?
Thank you. So if I may, through the chair, reason for structuring this, well, I'll back up a moment, to address the concerns of Councilman Lattiser and Napa. As this item was drafted, it was very much intentionally drafted to be a very vanilla version without great specificity as to exactly what would satisfy the five-year forecast and presentation. So there's nothing in there that limits us from adding some toppings or additional flavors, if you will, on top of that vanilla baseline. But to address some concerns that were also raised by the council president as well, I think that we can all agree that at least as of the present moment, it is important for us to have this type of five-year forecast and the like. And for the foreseeable future, I think that that's important for us to continue to have. I agree that it's impossible to completely predict the future. I doubt that at the time I was originally elected, we would have imagined that we'd go to remote council meetings for, what was it, over a year during the COVID-19 pandemic. We didn't see that one coming. But I would certainly think that for decades into the future, it's going to continue to be necessary for us to have this type of five-year forecast presented to us a month before the budget hearings. So long as we continue to have budget hearings as a city council, and I can't imagine the city council continuing as it is under the city charter without us having budget hearings. So some things change, some things don't. I would also say too, in response to the particular item about service being by constable in hand traditional service, that being part of the city council charter, or the city charter rather, for many years, that at the time that was in there for a very good purpose, because at that time there really was no good alternative, and it was a very good protection for us as city council members to make sure that we were getting that actual notice of council meetings. So it is possible. Times do change. It's not going to be very often that we need to have a change to the city charter due to the times changing. I don't think that this particular change would be something that we'd need to revisit because of future technology, because we should all continue to be trying to look a few years ahead of time in advance of a budget hearing. But let's see. Pardon me, I had one more thought there. Yes. Yeah, I think that where the real benefit of this as a change to the charter comes, as opposed to simply an ordinance, is that it gives accountability back to the voters, back to the people of Warwick, that precisely because an ordinance is something that is relatively easy to change, a future city council could get elected, change the ordinance, first and second passage, all before the required budget presentation. So for that reason, I think that as a matter of making sure that the people of Warwick, the voters, know that this is a hard requirement there in the city charter, give them that accountability, I think it's fair and reasonable for us to put this on the ballot for their consideration. And if they were to say that, hey, we don't need to have this additional verbiage in the city charter, we don't want these kinds of things showing up on the ballot, then they can always vote it down. But I think that it would probably pass because it's the sort of thing that people want to make sure that this kind of presentation isn't there just for us, nine members of the council, but also there is a public hearing where they get to hear and see the presentation, and they get to weigh in with public comment, or otherwise make sure that there is that opportunity for them to call up, email, whatever future form of communication there is, to their city council members in the future. So that's why I think that this is one of those rare occasions where something that could be an ordinance, could be a charter change. Rare instance where I'd say a charter change is warranted. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. I'm going to go to the public now. Any members of the public wish to offer comment?
Jeremy Langell, Ward 5. Sounds like I missed a riveting meeting the last time this was discussed. I think moving this to an ordinance makes perfect sense. The charter needs to be the kind of the big ideas, protect the essential things, but I think an ordinance makes sense. I can appreciate the role of direct democracy, but we also elect you all to represent us, to make decisions and pass ordinances and those kinds of things. So I think it cuts both ways in terms of how you all utilize the power and the authority that we have given you to make these kinds of decisions. So given the complicated path that this would likely take at the State House, an ordinance is something that you all can do quickly and get it done. And I have no doubt that people will be here to hold you all accountable. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. That last thought that, you know, the people elected us to shepherd some of these decisions through, I think, is salient. So thank you for making it. Okay, at this point, after everything we've heard, you know, it seems like this is trending towards an ordinance. So I'd be looking for an unfavorable recommendation if there was one to be had, so we can move this back into an ordinance where it likely belongs. And is there any motion among the committee?
Mr. Chair, just for clarification, would we have to vote this as unfavorable to reseat it in another committee? Or would we? Can we offer an amendment here through the committee?
Because this was entered as a resolution, it would need to be withdrawn or struck down and then redocketed as an ordinance.
Okay, just for clarity, I will make the motion for unfavorable. However, I am fully supportive of the premise of this whole.
Agree.
This, you know, 5-year forecast, public hearing, get it in front of the public, make sure that they have an opportunity to speak. All of that sounds great. I feel strongly as though this is more appropriate for an ordinance that we govern here at the city level and not volley it up. So I would make a motion for unfavorable action based only on that circumstance.
Got it. Yeah, so the content solid, the mechanism maybe could use some work. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, next up, PCR 20-26, a resolution to the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter to provide for council advice and consent for Charter Article 8 mayoral appointments. We did have extensive discussion last time around. I believe the intent of, did we actually move this last time, Solicitor?
No.
Okay.
Please take any testimony of the committee and proceed.
Okay. My summary of my recollections from last time was that there were considerable challenges in requiring advice and consent on every mayoral appointment / hire to the administration. But there was general consensus across the group through our discussion that requiring advice and consent on all committees, boards, et cetera, was something that was favorable both for the administration as well as for the council. And I believe that at some point tonight, there may be an amendment to that effect, but open to if any of the members of the committee have anything to say along those lines. Councilman Mito.
Thank you, Chairman. I agree with your summary, is that I think we had some good legs last time, and I believe as a discussion, it was leaning that way for boards and commissions, but not with mayoral hires. So,
great. Thank you.
With something I didn't think about the last time, Chairman, if I may. No.
You may.
Okay. Should I identify myself? I never know. The Board of Public Safety. This is a unique board. It's unlike all the other ones. The other one's like a branch of government, planning, zoning, all of that. The Board of Public Safety can actually set policy for the police and fire department. Those are departments that I run. I don't know why we have a Board of Public Safety. I don't know why it's set up the same way, but I would like to make that one exclusive for the rest of the boards. because I have to work with them. It's very important. I put the kind of people there that we can work together. I mean, currently I have a retired fireman, retired policeman, and a businessman, so it covers all of their work. You know, everything they deal with, licenses, businesses. They do disability pensions for the fire department. So this is a very unique board. So, you know, I would rather keep that separate than the other ones.
Chairman, if I may.
Thank you, Mayor, and Council President.
So the solicitor, I asked if he could prepare a potential amendment based on the last meeting, and he was able to do so. Although that being said, it sounds like we want to put an exception to it for at least one board in there. But he was able to do so in a way that will allow us flexibility too. So similar to my comments on the last item, so that we're not locked into something and then we have to change it years later because something else changed. But solicitor, I don't know if you're allowed to read it now or if we have to wait till the full floor.
If the committee would indulge my senses that we should handle any varying amendments that may be offered by the members of the council at the full council level. So if they would have interest in just taking any other public testimony at the time and perhaps sending the matter to the floor with no recommendation, it could advance us along this evening and get to the actual amendments rather than duplicating the effort amongst the nine of you.
Good. Okay. I'm open to that. So I will go to members of the public. Do any members of the public have anything to add in terms of this PCR 20-26? Members of the public? Seeing none. Any members of the committee have anything to add that we haven't already heard or that wouldn't be more appropriate for on the floor? Members of the council, something specific here, knowing that we're going to hear an amendment in a little bit?
Certainly. So specifically, I had briefly talked with the mayor and chief of staff earlier this evening. We are not completely in agreement, but there are some things that we do agree on. I would be fine with striking the Board of Public Safety from this and keeping that process exactly as it is. Really, I think the area where we're working towards a compromise is as to certain department head positions that are not currently in existence but may be created in the future by future mayors, and other persons who receive a salary in excess of the mayor's salary who are appointed by the mayor, of which there are currently none. However, this is really a prophylactic measure to make sure that those types of abuses cannot happen by future mayors, because under the current city charter, if a future mayor were to decide to budget for a salary and pay a salary that's in excess of their own salary, the city council couldn't actually do anything about it. And I think that that's a type of an issue that the city council should have control over. That's not happening right now, but it is a concern of mine. That's my comments for now.
Thank you, Councilman. It's worth noting that just about every department director makes more than the mayor.
yeah, rub that in.
Certainly not advocating for a pay raise, but a lot would fall into that category.
Just a comment. Councilman, we read his proposed amendments. I'm not saying there was any kind of discussion. I said we would read them. We weren't compromising anything because I saw it very quickly. It's very long, and a lot of it I didn't like because it was still the same thing. People would have to come here to be hired. And the mayors have the flexibility to create a position. I don't know if it's been done in the past, but the plazas a good example of that. Those positions had to be created. So I would have to absorb everything he sent us. It was pretty lengthy, but I'm not saying that I would agree to it. Probably wouldn't, but I did say I would look at it, not dismiss it out of hand.
Thank you, Mayor. Okay. At this point, I've gone to the public already. Public, anyone else from the public have anything to add? Why don't we move this to the floor without recommendation, and we can discuss amendments or any other changes afterwards. Do I have a motion?
A motion to move to the floor without a recommendation.
Second.
6-3. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, next up, PCR 2126, a resolution to the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter to expand membership of and alter the election districts of the Warwick School Committee. We did have brief discussion on this one last time. Very brief. As we have other items that we've moved to the floor, we could, of course, move this one as well. Councilman, would you have any objection to holding your comments to the floor?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, no, yes, you would have no objections?
Correct. I would have no objection. Okay. And in fact,
thank you.
I think that it would be appropriate on the floor for it to be held.
Okay.
To June 1st.
But okay.
It can be moved to the floor first.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you would like this held? Sorry, you buried the lead there on me.
To be clear, I think that it would be simplest for at the committee stage for this to be moved to the floor just so that it's accompanying the other two. But I think that once it does get to the floor, once we're in front of the full city council meeting, I just want to broadcast here that I would intend to request for it to be held until June 1st as discussions are ongoing.
Okay.
Hearing that the sponsor wants to hold it June 1st, I make the motion to hold it June 1st.
Mr. Chairman.
All in favor? Oh, sorry. Councilman?
Thank you. Just for a point of interest through the chair to Councilman Ricks, I would have a problem holding this until June 1st because by June 1st, the General Assembly is ready to go home. So we need to get their permission before you can get anything on the ballot. So I just wanted to remind you of that. Whatever your privileges, you're the prime sponsor, but just a reminder.
I thank you, Councilman. I think that's it is a valid point. However, I think in our brief discussion that we had at our last meeting, there is and from personally what I've heard from the public is that, you know, this is a very large change that's being proposed with sort of wide-reaching potential impacts. And it sounds like we're, at least from, you know, the councilman's willingness to hold, that we could take our time with this one and make sure that when we do go to the General Assembly, be it this session or a subsequent session, that this is fully vetted.
Chair, if I may, question to the City Council solicitor. Without holding you liable for this, generally speaking, I would imagine that it might be better to send it to the General Assembly within the month of May, but what would you be your sense of whether we have until the June 1st meeting or not if we were to act on this?
Thank you, Councilman. If I knew the end of the Assembly's sine die for the session, I'd be a wiser man than I am. It's hard to project when the General Assembly is going to end. Historically, they have been most recently concluding but not formally adjourning the business around the third week of June. That said, a new item sent to them on June 1st is theoretically possible, but somewhat challenging. You would have to clear hearings, but legislation from municipalities are not prohibit in the same manner of other late introductions under their rules. So it's a theory that is a difficult road, but it's hard to say when the legislature actually adjourns. We've had years where within the last decade where it's adjourned and come back for special actions later in the year. However unlikely that may be, it's very hard to predict.
Councilman?
Thank you. Perhaps moving it to the floor for discussion, seeing if we get anywhere. I won't keep you any longer in the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. Chairman, I can wait until it comes to the floor.
Thank you, Councilman. Okay, with that, do we have a motion?
Motion to move to the floor for discussion.
We have a motion to hold on the table.
Did you go first?
Do we have a second on that motion?
Nope. I'll withdraw that motion.
If the motion withdrawn. Okay, so then if the motion to hold is not on the table, then I will go to the public. Any members of the public have anything to add?
Jeremy Langell, Ward 5. So I'm sent written testimony in also on behalf of the Workneck Elementary PTA, also in Ward 5. We're opposed to this charter, but we're not opposed to having a study commission, which is actually what we think would be the appropriate next step for this body. As you know, I think going to the State House with something that's been well thought out, well researched, where we have looked at how other city councils organize their school committees and so forth, I think that that's a prudent strategy. I will say, as written, I think there are problems dividing. Currently, wards 4, 5, and 6 are in one seat, for lack of a better word. But the wording on this would essentially allow three people from that cohort, but you could have three people from Ward 6, or you could have three people from Ward 4, which would not be equitable distribution if you live in Ward 5. My reading of it, you could have a married couple. I think that would be problematic as well. So I would have some questions about, you know, would these be competitive seats? Right? I mean, are we going to have good candidates? So I think that there are a lot of questions. Again, in principle, I think actually we do need to have a study commission on this. I think that that's your path forward. I would mark this unfavorable and then move into, you know, doing something else. So I have other thoughts on that. It's been a long evening, but I just wanted to make sure that you understood that in principle, we don't have necessarily an issue with this idea of exploring a more robust school committee, and that needs to be done in coordination, I think, with a lot of community members, including parents and including PTA and PTO leaders. There are 13 PTOs and PTAs at our elementary schools, Windman, Vets, Tollgate, and Pilgrim. So there are a lot of people who care about this, and I think this is is too rash now to try and get up to the State House. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other members of the public? Good evening.
Hi, Darlene Netco, Ward 7. In addition to the comments that I made in the public comment for the whole city council meeting, I just want to add, based on the conversation that you all just had, that it is way too late in the General Assembly's process to introduce something new to them. The Budget Commission last year, you introduced in January, and it was approved in April. That's a couple of months' time to go before committees, to take public comment and testimony in front of committees. They're wrapping things up now. The proper time to introduce legislation into the General Assembly is in January or February. It's too rushed now. There's no need to rush this. The school committee has been operating the way it's been operating. It will continue to operate that way. If there is to be any change, it needs to be well thought out and not rushed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Necco. Okay, we've heard from members of the public. Any other members of the public have anything to add? Okay, we've heard from members of the public, we've heard from the committee. Do we have a motion?
Motion to move to the floor without recommendation.
We'll move with no recommendation. 4-6, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
No. 3-1. Motion passes. It's now 8:47 and intergovernmental is adjourned.
Mr. President, request a 5-minute recess.
Yes, please.